Blog Talk Radio.
Brother V. Hello.
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 Yes, hello. How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm all right. I don't know what's going on. I'm having some serious technical difficulties right now.
Technical difficulties?
Yeah, I don't know what the hell is going on. The technical difficulties. Please stand by. Anyway, what up, everybody? Blog Talk Radio Land. Apologies for the delay. Like I said, technical difficulties. Of course, that would be tonight. Got a heavy show. Yes, once again, Brother B, Big Red in the house. Big Red, Brother B, another episode of The Menu. What's good? What's going on, Big Red?
I'm good. I'm ready to get this party started.
Too.
Me too.
So, yeah, man. Yeah, once again, my apologies for the technical difficulties, everyone. Sorry about that. It's got a lot. A few things going on. Had like a tree, like lightning hit a tree in the backyard like 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the people had just came to like cut it. It was like a huge tree, like and it was only like half the tree really. And part of the tree was on the power line, so now I ain't got no internet, so I was running off the hotspot.
Oh wow!
So yeah. Yes, I think it's somewhere in between the hotspot and the Bluetooth and, you know, all this and that. Like, yeah, something wasn't connecting. So, but yeah, they don't have any internet right now because, you know, our good friends Verizon have to come out, you know, when they decide to come out and, you know, set things back in motion. But anyway, once again, what up, everybody? Big Red and Brother B, another episode of The Menu on Blog Talk Radio. We're on Facebook at The Menu, Mind Your Mental, MindURMENTAL. Guest calling numbers 347-324-3395. That's 347-324-3395. Pardon me if I seem a little dry. I'm just, you know, tech difficulties threw me off a bit.
Difficulties.
Yeah, it kind of threw me off. Threw me off. So what's up, Red? How you doing?
I'm good. Just chilling. And was watching what's the name of the show? Oh, the movie, the documentary rather, This Is It, the Michael Jackson documentary. Was watching that.
Oh, okay.
And of course, you know, his birthday's coming up soon, so gotta represent.
This is it. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Yeah, a lot of documentaries. A few things out. I know that I didn't get to see it yet. The documentary with Trayvon Martin. I think came out about 2 weeks ago.
Oh yeah, I've been dabbling in that too. Yeah, I definitely was watching that.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to see that. I mean, you know, I want to watch stuff like that, but sometimes I don't. Because it's just going to, like, annoy me. Because there's nothing that you can really
I'm
going to
let you know it is.
Yeah, I mean, I want to support it, but I might not watch it because, like I said, it's certain things are never going to change.
Nope.
The sad thing is it'll get worse, but certain things are just never going to change. And the ignorance doesn't fall on the minorities. And that's
right.
And that's all I really say at this time. It's like the ignorance doesn't fall on us because we're not the ones that are racist.
Right.
You know, that comedian Paul Mooney, he actually, you know, at one point said, you know, I was watching something with him, and he said, like, black people can't be racist. And to a degree, I agree. We don't hold any type of power to want to discriminate over anyone else. So, I mean, it's just sad that things are that way. But I think it's more pathetic. I mean, it's sad, but then you just got to look at people like George Zimmerman's and these people that shoot the Philando Castiles or the Anton Sterling. You just got to look at them as pathetic savages. I mean, that's all they are. Because you can't hide behind your job. You can attempt to, but at the end of the day, we all know that you're a coward. And shooting someone that was unarmed coward. Trayvon Martin was 17?
Yep, 17 years old.
17 years old. Bag of Skittles and a Snapple. And you know what's crazy? You really saw what people... You really saw the divide. I mean, we saw the divide with O.J., but when, you know,
Trayvon
Martin was, yeah.
Yeah,
but
was really like a divide.
with Trayvon
like
Martin.
Like the Red Sea.
It was you damn right. But with Trayvon Martin, it was a strong reminder, and everything after that, you know, as much as people want to look at minorities as savages, listen, just imagine this country without minorities.
All right.
It probably
still
would be a bunch of rocks and dirt because it's obviously that the people that brought us here were too lazy to do any goddamn thing anyway. But, you know, like I said, I'm not going to, you know, just get on into that because, you know, we got a heavy show tonight anyway. Got some people that's going to be calling in. You know, a homie of mine from high school, Madeline Torres, and her company, A Light in the Dark Ink, and George Gonzalez from Project Give Back, and Carmesita Perez Velasquez should be calling in. So we're going to be talking about Puerto Rico, man, and have we forgotten? You know, it's so many issues. Like, you know, I mean, there's some people that come here from other countries and they look at America like this great thing because, of course, some people come from countries where there's a lot of dictatorship. You don't have the freedom of speech. You don't have the freedom to do a lot of things. So that's why they look at America as being this great thing. But, I mean, to the people that have been here like us, sometimes it's just not, especially when it comes to our people, you know, especially when it comes to minorities. I mean, we see what's going on now with how the government is treating, you know, Mexicans and illegal immigrants in general. I mean, listen, I get everyone's argument. You know, oh, they're coming over here and stealing our jobs. First of all, a lot of people are doing jobs that you don't even want to do. And
exactly. That's why I don't understand why they keep saying that they're coming over here and stealing jobs. You're not even going to do that job.
Exactly.
You wouldn't want to, and you're not going to do it.
Exactly. Like, I look at outsourcing. like everybody wants to talk about, people want to talk about, oh, they're coming over here stealing our jobs, but yet what about the jobs that these major corporations are sending overseas to pay people like $5 an hour because they don't want to pay Americans 10 to 15 or whatever dollars an hour? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But they don't say anything about that. See, that's where it's like you're a hypocrite, you know? I mean, it's a love-hate relationship, but it's starting to seem like there's more than hate than love. Because, once again, I notice all the people who talk about their patriots. If you were really a patriot, then you'd be getting at these corporations and other people when it comes down to these outsourcing. You'd be getting at the system who turns around and gives somebody. Now, I'm not against helping someone out in need, but when you come over to this country, if you need help, fine, but it should only be for a limited time. You shouldn't be living off the system.
Right.
But see, there's certain laws, there's certain things that when you just come over here, they just here, give it. My thing is what Snoop said, everybody got a cup, but they ain't chipped in. You know what I'm saying? How do you give to people that didn't put in? But let's see, let's get this party started. Hold on. 3773, you're on the air with the menu. Who is this?
Hey, Byron, it's Madeline.
Madeline! Maddie! How you doing, Maddie? Big Red.
Good, how are you?
Maddie.
Hello,
Maddie,
how are you?
Big Red.
I miss Maddie.
What's up, Big Red?
How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm fine.
Now,
awesome.
Everyone, this is Madeline Torres from A Light in the Dark, Inc. And she is part of, matter of fact, you explain, you tell us. You can tell it better than I can tell it. So the floor is yours. Take it away.
All right. Well, my name is Madeline Torres, and I have a nonprofit called A Light in the Dark that was specifically opened up to help those who were affected by Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico.
Okay.
All right. And, if anyone, the guest calling number is 347-324-3395. Don't be stirred. You know, call and answer your questions. You know, whatever, you know, we hear. But, all right, so, like I said, everybody, got another caller, hold on. 5244, you're on the air with the menu, what's up?
What's going on? This is George Gonzalez.
Okay, so George Gonzalez, how you doing? Now,
fine, yourself, brother?
Yeah, I'm good. Now, okay, so we got Maddie on. We got Madeline on from A Light in the Dark. We got George Gonzalez from Project Give Back. Introduce yourself, sir.
Hello?
Yeah, Mr. Gonzalez. You ready? Introduce yourself, guys.
Oh, how you doing? My name is George Gonzalez, and currently in Puerto Rico, Aguadilla. You know, what else, you know, you want me to tell you?
Oh, about your, you said project, you're from Project Give Back. What's that all about?
Oh, so we currently do 5Ks, and we raise money for military orphans and widows. They've been doing this for like about 8 years. But when I started working with them, we do humanitarian work. I was doing it before I started working with them. So my original organization, what I came under is Project Nasty. So that's just when I came down to Puerto Rico, but I just started working with Project Give Back. But we do humanitarian work, you know?
Okay. So, all right. What a lot of people, as well as myself, would like to know, what's going on in Puerto Rico? Madeline, George, please let us know. What's going on right now?
Well, the people in Puerto Rico, they still need help. When you get to Puerto Rico, you know, when you first land, of course, you land in San Juan, you know. And what I've been hearing a lot from people who have not gone to the mountains is, you know, oh, Puerto Rico's beautiful. Puerto Rico looks like, you know, everything's okay. You know, that's because they haven't gotten into the mountains yet. But once you get out of the mountain area, you're about 15 minutes away, that's when you start seeing the devastation. You know, there are still trees that are still laying there in the ground. They have a crack in them. There are still electrical lines laying in the road. And on top of all that, there are still people that have tarps on their roof. Tarps that were meant to only be there for about 3 months. And they're still living in those conditions. You know,
so when you
all
say,
because either... Go ahead.
So when you say tarps, you mean like what? Like they have roof tarps.
So
they don't have any, like, roof, no roofs.
They may have a partial roof. It could be that either they lost the entire roof, like my aunt has, or they have cracks in their roof and the rain is coming in, or they have no roof, depending on how hard it hit in those areas.
Well, okay. Well, I would like to ask Mr. Gonzalez, because you're currently in Puerto Rico now?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
So right now you're like the boot on the ground currently right now. What's going on with the people there in general? What's morale is like?
Well, they lifting up. You know, there's people that just, you know, they're getting off their, you know, heinies and doing what they got to do to survive, you know what I mean? Like Maddie said, that's the structural part, you know? They got other issues that's going on as well, you know? People are losing their jobs. A lot of businesses are closed. If you go to any town and you walk around, you'll see maybe 20, 30 stores, businesses that are closed. I mean, it looks that bad. Some towns look like a ghost town because there's so many stores that are closed and people are leaving the island. So it's a climb, but I think it can happen. It's going to happen slow, but it's a steep climb. But, you know, it's a lot of going on here. But
well,
people
I would like
are getting
to ask
together.
I would like to ask a question. How do you guys feel about the people that, as she said earlier, I'm sorry, isn't it Maddie, right? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say she.
That's okay.
When people come and they're saying, oh, Puerto Rico is beautiful, like the people that are visiting or still coming there, like I guess you could say tourists or people that are still coming there for vacation-wise. And as you said, they're saying, oh, well, Puerto Rico is beautiful, it looks fine, it's this, that, and the other, but they're not realizing that it's still devastation. It's like, you know, something devastating did happen there, but you're coming there like, oh, like it's no big deal. How do you guys, like, how does that feel to you to hear those things or hear people say that? Because I hear people say that, but I'm like, okay, but there's still a lot of devastation there. You're saying that it's, you know, it's this, that, and the other, and you're going there on vacation, but do you realize that they had something happen to them that was, you know, devastated the whole country, and they're still not back to where they're supposed to be?
Right.
Tell them to call
me.
I'll take them on a mission.
That's true. But honestly, like, it pisses me off when I hear people say that, you know, because if you're gonna go to Puerto Rico, and all you're gonna talk about is the only place you're gonna stay at is San Juan, don't come back and tell people in the States that everything's good. If you are going to go to Puerto Rico and you actually want to see Puerto Rico for what it is, and I'm not talking about the hotels that are owned by white people or anything like that, whatever. I'm talking about seeing Puerto Rico.
Right.
You know, that's where you're going to see the devastation. Then you can come back and talk about how bad it really is.
Right.
You know, but until then, if you're going to stay in San Juan and you're going to have, you know, the part of your life in San Juan, and then you're going to stay in the hotel and not worry about anything that's going on that island, don't come back and tell people that everything's good, because it's not.
Okay.
It is far from that.
Can I add to that? It is beautiful, though. They're not lying to you. They are absolutely not lying to you. There are places that are beautiful. There's places that you can still see damage. or from the hurricane that you could still witness. You'd be like, wow, they didn't fix that yet? Now, you walk around, because I'm from New York, and a light pole would have went down in New York, they'll fix it pretty quick. Because, you know, people shoot like crazy. Over here, it's a turtle process. I mean, real slow. Like, we almost in a year. I've been here 10 months already in Puerto Rico. So, and I still drive around and see light poles halfway down and buildings that are looking crazy. Like, how can you live there? Like, Maddie will tell you, we found an old man living in conditions that I'm like, I'd rather live in the street, man. I'd rather live in the subway, man, in the 6 train.
Yeah.
I'd rather live in the 6 train, man, for real. I got AC. It'd be hot in the winter. I'd be right up and down going back and forth. But the way he's living is crazy.
Yeah, now that leads me to another question. Once again, everybody rocking with the menu on Blog Talk Radio. We are talking about Puerto Rico. Have we forgotten? We have Madeline Torres, A Light in the Dark Ink, and George Gonzalez from Project Give Back on with us live. Big Red and Brother B, guest calling numbers 347-324-3395. Now, all right, my thing is, what's going on in terms of, like, food? When you talk about the conditions, like, you know, when you say that, I'm automatically thinking, like, mosquitoes. I'm thinking, you know, Zika, or whatever else. Like, you know, what's up with that? Because, of course, no one's reporting. And, you know, none of this is front page over here, you know, in the States.
Right.
You know, anywhere. No, nobody really cares. But, like I said, right now, you know, you're there. You and Madeline are, like, boots on the ground. Like, what's really good? Like, what's going on with that?
Well, there haven't been no reports of that. Go ahead, Maddie. I'm sorry.
As far as, like, food is concerned or whatever, things are pretty much, you know, going back to normal and stuff. But this is the problem that you know, that they're still having. So the electricity, the electrical grid is still shoddy. So when you hear about people already have electricity and so on, and they're almost, well, I'm sorry, there was a report that said that every person on the island has electricity except for about 200 people. And so you can't say everybody has it if there's still 200 people out there 11 months later, you know. Then you have those who have to have generators, because if the lights go out, they have to keep those generators running for their loved ones to even be able to breathe and keep them alive. So now you have a situation to where they have to make a decision whether or not they're going to use their money for gas to keep the electrical grid going or their generator going, you know, or buy food, which is it just drives me insane, because they're spending at least $600 a month on gas itself for the generator, and they barely can buy any food. It's a catch-22 for them, you know, and it's a domino effect. You know, a lot of these jobs have left and are not opening up again.
Right.
So now you have people who are unemployed. Puerto Rico already lives under the poverty level, and they have to make all these decisions, and it shouldn't be this way, you know. And not to mention, they're also getting bills. People who got their electrical system back up, they're getting bills for months behind from when they didn't have electricity. How do you do that? Why do you do that?
Exactly.
That drives me insane.
Unbelievable.
We got caller 6009 on there with the menu. What's up?
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, this is Carmencita.
Carmencita, how you doing, lady? You are on with Big Red and Brother B with the menu. We also got Mr. George Gonzalez and Miss Madeline Torres on. So the gang's all here.
Hi, Manny. Hi, Georgie.
Hey.
What's going on?
So would you like to introduce yourself, Miss Carmencita?
Well, my name is Gunman Sita Perez. I am just a normal, everyday, crazy Puerto Rican girl who happens to live in Phoenix, Arizona, and I'm a hairdresser and a singer, and I'm a traveling hairdresser, and when the hurricane hit the island of Puerto Rico, our beautiful island, it changed my life forever. And when it changed my life forever in the manner of how the government and certain people have not decided to take care of the island in the proper manner that we all expect it to be done, it just led me to, you know, volunteer, protest, help people, you know, move forward. And Maddie is so right. The island is not being taken care of the way that it is to this point, you know, up to this point in time, in day. There is so much more to be done. There is so much more to help with people in the island, you know, showing them love and respect and kindness and honor, and, you know, helping them move forward into the future with learning how to be more self-sustaining. And I don't really know what else to say. It is, as you see it now, you see the island now. If you've actually been there physically, you would actually know, you know, that there is still so much more to do, really, all the way around.
And one of these also, Gamesita is, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Sorry, Gamesita is part of a volunteer vacations also, and she's been there actually twice already, and she has been, between her and her husband, they go out there and they help those who are, those nonprofits that are going out there, you know, to do some work, and they've been volunteering on their vacations. I mean, they don't take a day off. You know, they don't, you know, hang out at the beach in San Juan and stuff. They just go out there and they help.
Sure.
Yeah,
right,
that's
really. Go ahead. Well, hold on. 5891, you're on the air, but before you come in, there's one thing that I kind of want to get across. This whole thing with Puerto Rico, to me, is just like a mirror of Katrina. It's basically the same damn thing. Like, Katrina seemed like the prototype for whatever, because, you know, of course, mm-hmm. there's theories about that, you know, conspiracy theories or whatever about that. But then the same thing happens to Puerto Rico, and it's like the same thing all over again. Now, you have people mm-hmm. out there that want to look at, like, Puerto Rico as, like, this distant country. But in all actuality, Puerto Rico is a part of the United States. It's, I believe,
correct.
A commonwealth, right? So my whole
yes,
thing
is
the back. Whoever got the background noise going on, you got to bring it down a little bit, background noise. Yeah, it's the commonwealth of the United States. So I don't see how it's bad enough to seem like the government turned its back on Katrina, because, Madeline, you did mention about how people were getting, like, electric bills. I remember there was a time where the situation with Katrina, when, you know, they were trying to get their bearings, and people were actually, it was like a land grab, because people's homes were destroyed. They couldn't find the deeds to their homes. So basically it was like, well, if you can't find the deed, then you don't own the land. It's like that whole
correct.
Thing, one minute it was up, and the next thing you got swept under the rug. Now, how do you charge
exactly.
someone yeah, for services that weren't even rendered? I don't understand. 5891,
exactly.
you're on the air with the menu. What's up? Hello?
Hey, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on, y'all? What's
hey,
going
what's
on?
Okay, dog. What's going
what's
on?
Going on?
What's up?
All right. Man, listen, once again, we've seen this time and time again. Puerto Rico has been neglected by the U.S. government. Unfortunately, you know, this has happened. We've seen that, and I'm glad you talked about Katrina, because the way they did the people in Katrina was totally wrong, because what they did was that, being that the deeds of those homes were lost, they raised the market value to a to a percent that people could not even afford to move back into their homes. And now, with what happened with Puerto Rico with Hurricane Maria, here we are a year later, and things still have not changed. The people are living in deplorable conditions because I know a couple of people who have been going down to Puerto Rico to volunteer, and they're saying, you know, to help as much as you can. They still need the help. And unfortunately, they're not getting the proper help that they should be getting. And they're relying on the fact that people are donating because, you know, I'm not to say that I'm a saint or anything, but last year I was proud to donate as much food that I can get to send down there to a friend of, to help a friend of mine because she goes down there to volunteer and she's been doing a great job. But she says help is still needed because some places still don't have power. Some homes are still destroyed. Some people are still living in the streets. And I'm like, man, are you serious?
Well, that's what that leads to the next major question for Madeline, for George, and for Carmencita. Me and Red would like to know. Yeah, I gotta throw you in this, Red. So at one point, Jay-Z, Fat Joe, I remember like a year ago they did this big concert at the Barclays, and they were supposed to be like like trucks that were being filled and a plane that was supposed to go over to Puerto Rico to donate food, and all this money was supposed to be, being given to Puerto Rico. Okay, you know, where is it? Like, for all the donations that were supposed to be given, money, like, how is it? It's not to say that, not everybody, you know, like, they could just, I don't know how much money was generated, but it had to be some millions of dollars. I'm just assuming. But where the hell is it?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the questions that I wanted to raise also, or whatever, is that those who raise those funds, like Fat Joe, Jennifer Lopez, Daddy Yankee, or whoever, you know, have raised funds for Puerto Rico, I hope that they're paying attention, and I hope that they're tracking the money of the donations that they have submitted to whoever they submitted it to, because I still don't understand how is it that with less than $2,000 that I got in donations, less than $2,000. Now, mind you, some of that went to the material that we had used, like a pressure washer, the weed whacker. What else did we get, George, that we are able to, like, use again?
We got everything, man.
There were a couple
food
of things that we...
for the roof. Everything.
Exactly.
Like, we sealed the whole roof with that money.
Exactly. Other than the material used on sealing the roof and painting that house, which we still need to go back and finish painting and stuff, because, you know, we didn't get to finish painting that side of the house. However, we left everything there. It cost us less than $2,000 to get the cracks done between ceiling and the waterproofing and so on. If we did it with that little bit of money and volunteers, where the
with all that money, why more hasn't been done?
Yeah, where's all the money? Where did all the rest of the money go? Because
And it was done to build the infrastructure. And they're not doing shit but putting a Band-Aid on those electrical grids.
Right.
You know?
They're
putting it back up. No, exactly. Listen, I could go over there and huff and puff, and they'll lose electricity for a couple of days.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
This is an outrage.
But you know, I wanted to
ask.
It
is an outrage. But nobody's reporting this stuff.
Right. And that's the sad thing about it, that nobody wants to report it. Nobody wants it to be seen. It's like everything, you know, with everything that happened, it gets swept under the rug. It's like, you'll probably hear about it for a week or maybe a couple of days, and then it's like, all right, on to the next thing. But what I wanted to ask was, what about, like, health care? Because, you know, like with the babies, the children, you know, the older people, the health care. How is that being you know, how are people being treated, like, you know, like, you know, I don't know much about
for sicknesses,
you know,
for
sicknesses, illnesses, you know, stuff that people may have gotten even, you know, because of the hurricane, of, you know, the water, you know, stuff like that. Like, how is that being, you know, what is being done about that?
Oh, well,
Let me say, real quick,
before you guys say something, 9676, you're on the air with the menu, I got you, and 7256, you're on the air with the menu, what's up?
Hi, this is Lynn Benitez from Vega Baja, Puerto Rico.
Hey, what's
hey.
Up?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Lynn.
How you doing?
Hey, Lynn.
Yo,
thank you for joining.
That's the real G right there, B.
72.
Hello, this is Sensi Perez from Guayama.
Hey, what's up,
Chelsea?
I'm personal friends with George, and I know Camisita as well, and Madeline.
Hi, Mommy.
Okay.
Hi, Mommy.
And I've had the pleasure of working with George. And I first, before anything, want to on air thank them for everything they've done here. Because I've posted it on Facebook more than once that if it wasn't for the nonprofit organizations, Puerto Rico will not be where it is today. I was here for Hurricane Maria. I live on the island. And so as far as the help is concerned, first of all, the Mega Millions that all these celebrities and athletes raised, as far as where that money went, to this day, people ask me, and I have to answer honestly, we do not know. And I say because I've yet to meet someone that says this money, you know, went this place. There has been no transparency with that. And as far as the help
to the governor's
with the
side.
Government is concerned, and I'm going to be totally honest, nothing was handed out as far as from the U.S., as far as food and water, until the day after the president came here to visit us. And we most of us know how that visit went. Well, anyway, I don't want to talk politics, but the next day, that's when
politics.
they started giving out things to, you know, provisions. Okay, I was here for a month. I left. So I came back, and it's 60 days later because I was gone for a month. So I came the 62nd day. When I get home, I find, you know, FEMA left me 3 lunches and a pack of water, and I was getting ready to throw out. My neighbor says, no, don't throw it out. I said, but this is old. It's been sitting here. You know, I've been gone for a month. And they told me FEMA just passed through here and gave us help 2 days ago. So it wasn't until 60 days later that we actually got help from FEMA. So as far as where the help went and why it took so long, we don't know. But I can tell you this. If you go to David Bernal, am I pronouncing his last name correctly, George? You're good.
Yeah,
from CBS.
Bernal.
Yeah. They had reached out to him, and just within the past couple of days, it's all over the news where they found like 10 to 12 containers full of food that went to waste. And it was a project that the first lady started, but then it got so big that she passed it on to the National Guard. National Guard at this point has accepted responsibility for that food not going out that was supposed to go out. As far as FEMA's concerned, not too long ago, yes, I'm serious. It's all over the news. If you go to Twitter, or if you Google it,
this
it's all
up.
Over. It has rat waste or mice waste all over it. And what they're saying is they're planning to give it out. Now, I've been helping out in any way that I can on a small level.
Rat?
And
wow.
Yeah. And they're planning to distribute it. And I'm like,
are you
gonna
distribute
how are
rat
they planning
food?
To distribute it? Yeah, the boxes. You can see the pictures. You know, I'm not stating anything that it cannot be, you know, backed up. You can go online and you can see it. So they're planning to pass this out now, almost like, you know, a year later. And the only reason things got better financially as far as food was because they gave people an increase in their food stamps. People that received food stamps got an increase. I don't know how many months after the hurricane that was, but I can say it was probably about 3 months ago. So up until that point, if it wasn't for the nonprofit organizations that were giving out these provisions, we would still be, you know, feeding people. We would still be providing people with food and water, just the basic daily necessities. The other thing is that a lot of people don't realize there's no such thing as a welfare program in Puerto Rico. Therefore, people do get help with, you know, funds for food, but they do not get, like, a cash assistance. You know, there's no cash assistance program, like, in the amount of the state. Some people get $20 a month. What can you do with that by shampoo if you're
lucky? Yeah, they get cash, but they get like, $25, $30, like, a month or something like that.
Right. Yeah,
of cash?
Can I
add a little about that point right there real quick? Is that actually it's a coincidence that we're talking about this because I have Medicaid for my family. I have a son and my husband who's struggling with cancer, and we recently
I want to stop you right there because I also want you to Big Red did have a question about the whole medical thing. So if you can, because I just heard what you was, you know, bringing up. So could you kind of like, you know, speak on that, please?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that we do have Medicaid coverage, but Medicaid recently contacted us and called us into the office a couple of days ago because they noticed that I had a change in my bank account. Throughout the months following the hurricane, I did receive a lot of donations for hurricane relief, for both for myself and for my community, because I've been, you know, buying water and food and supplies. And Madeline's organization, Light in the Dark, is one of the organizations who actually did send me cash. A lot of the people here, they don't have PayPal or they don't have any other way to get direct payments, and people from the United States wanted to help, and I'm one of the few people in this community that has access to, you know, to PayPal and to be able to pull out the cash, but our Medicaid was just discontinued because of that. And I tried we just lost it. And it was something that I hadn't thought about. You know, it's like we're in survival mode, so. You know, money's coming in, and I tried to explain this. Money's coming in, and it's to buy water, and it's to buy food, and it's to, you know, to survive. And they basically said, well, it's income. So you receive this money, so now you don't get health insurance. So now we don't have that. But I wanted to raise that point, but I wanted to go back to the question that was raised about he mentioned the water. The water quality is horrendous. In fact, right now I'm sitting in the dark. We have no power, and we have no water. I live in Almirante Sur in Vega Baja, and our water is pumped with electricity. So when the power goes out, the water goes out. So we haven't had water for a few days now, and when the water it's very poor quality. It's not drinkable. You cannot drink, and they actually. Like in this neighborhood, when the water kit was put back on, the municipio, you know, the city officials, they drove by and with a loudspeaker announcing to people that the water was going to be turned on, but we cannot drink it. They're telling people, you know, boil the water before you drink it. So even though, like, things are better in the sense that every once in a while we get water, we get power, you know, it's still we are still in a crisis. We still don't have access to clean water.
Right.
And the only way that we can get clean water is either if you have your own filter or if you buy bottled water. It's not like it was.
Money to do it. And that's hard to do that, too, if you don't hardly have the money to buy those things. You have to choose between eating or having clean water and then just like they said, playing the electric bill or whatever. It's a mess. It's terrible. It just doesn't make any sense.
Can I say something real quick?
Go ahead.
As far as the electricity goes, one thing that we have to keep in mind that although there's only like 0.002 families without electricity right now, every single day in the island of Puerto Rico, different sections of the island go without power. Like, for instance, in Guadama yesterday, for at least an hour, and today, more than an hour, in parts of Guadama, we lost power. So, you know, it's horrible because 3 days from now, high peak season begins for hurricane season, and this island is truly not even ready for Cat 1 hurricane.
Nope.
I mean, if we have a tree that falls over and hits over a line, there goes the power, like happened to Mayagüez and Arecibo and some other towns. I think it was like a week ago, 10 days ago, where a line snapped. It was like a quarter.
Yeah, so it was like all of the towns.
Yeah.
Right down the middle of the
like
island.
Like a quarter of the island was without electricity for 3 days. But the infrastructure,
and if you live in the
grid, horrible condition.
I just want to say to all my Puerto Ricans, I got mad luck for y'all. You know, this is K-Dog from Brooklyn, New York. Brother B knows me. Big Red knows me. Hey, I got mad luck for y'all. I just got to say like this, that this is an outrage. And I'm listening to what you guys are saying. I am so upset that a year later, that still there is no power, still the infrastructure is all messed up, still water supply is all jacked up. I mean, come on, somebody is doing something terribly wrong. Where's, like all the aid that was supposed to come in, I don't feel that it's coming in.
No.
You know, something.
Well, I think one of the biggest problems is that there's no accountability. Nobody's being held accountable for these things.
Nobody. It's like, what do they
What are the politicians in Puerto Rico doing? What are the, the mayor?
That's like
on something you may not want to tap on right now.
Yes, exactly.
Hey, listen.
If you
we on the
mission. The governor of Puerto Rico is a right-wing conservative, Trump-supporting governor. So what he's going to do is to placate Trump and to placate the Republican administration. Exactly. And then the people, the other mayors that are on a local level, the municipality mayors, they have no power because Puerto Rico is a colony of the United States, and the United States has imposed a seven-person economic fiscal board, which we call La Junta, the Promesa board. They, in fact, govern Puerto Rico. So they have taken away the power of the local politicians. The mayors and the different towns may have a desire to do something. They have no power. And then the governor, who is the highest, is going to just do whatever to placate Trump. I mean,
And to make it worse, Judge Swain from Boston, Massachusetts, just approved for the vulture funds, the people that have those bonds, to get paid, which means if they get paid, money that was supposed to be used to pay police officers, all the programs here, police department got a $37 million cut when that happened, instantaneously. So here is, schools that are going to open that are not ready, although there's time to get them ready, they're not going to open. They had closed before Maria, 159 schools.
They already closed. Schools already closed.
They have
closed.
Like porta potties and trailers.
And some of the ones
that are
that are opening are not in. They're in deplorable conditions. They're asking kids to bring extra water to school, bottles of water, because they're gonna need it once they're in school.
Yeah, they're
gonna
get
classes
in these little trailers.
All these
and
things
they're
gonna
have the little kids using
are normal.
Porta potties.
You're not supposed to bring. Yes. Who starts here?
Can I make a point on these? So from what I've read, and you guys who are on the island, please correct me if I'm wrong or whatever. But this is what I read. So I'm being told that the schools that have closed, and now these kids that have to be chartered to different school, their parents now need to buy new uniforms. Now instead of the government giving them a voucher and saying, listen, this is not your fault that this school got closed and we send you guys to a different school now, but you have to buy your own children's clothing now. Is that what's happening on the island? Because if it is, I'm going to be really fucking pissed.
Nope.
I believe so. I have not heard anything on the news. It could be on the news, but I haven't heard anything about they're going to give out funding or help for these parents so they can buy new uniforms for the kids to go to school. I have, me myself personally, I have not heard anything like that. And I just to mention, and I want to add to that, that not is that, and that also is it financially not good for these parents, but also some of these parents have to drive, let's say, a 20-minute or half an hour additional drive to get the kids to school, or the kids got to walk 40 minutes if they live up in the mountains.
Right.
They have to walk 40 minutes just to get to school. So every day they leave with an umbrella. They will leave with an umbrella
it's
to walk to school
right
from
now,
a mountain
a lot of
to get to school. Yeah.
A lot of these parents don't even know which school their kid has been assigned to because it's all done online. And the people, poor people who live in the countryside,
they have no access
to the Internet. So a lot of these parents
are having
to go to the schools, into the offices, to ask the secretary to pull up the page online, the Department of Education, to find out even which school their kid is going to be sent to. So it's a complete failure right now. And, you know, half of these kids are not even going to go to school. School starts tomorrow.
Well, one of the things that Maria unmasked was how many people were living in poverty in Puerto Rico. Before Maria, I attended a forum with Philip Alston. He works on extreme poverty and different social issues. He visited Puerto Rico, and when I went to the forum, they spoke about, before Maria, it was 68% of the people here living in poverty or sub-poverty percent. After Maria, the 68% went up to 73%. So right now we have 73% of the population that are living at poverty or below poverty level. So, how long is it going
to
get better? How is it going to get better? There's still a lot of questions to be answered and
The question I was about to ask, I'm glad you guys answered. I'm glad you answered it because, you know, for a government to just sit back and laying in the cut while the people are suffering, that's a government that should be overthrown. That's a government that they should be getting rid of.
Exactly,
yeah.
Like they did
well,
in
Haiti. Exactly.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Yeah.
We all know, as we sit here with our eyes wide open, watching the situation from day one, and for the past 12 years, Puerto Rico has been below the poverty level.
Yes.
They've been, for 12 years, they have been broke. We all know that this is a conspiracy, whether we want to believe it or not. They want this island. They want us to leave this island. They want to turn Puerto Rico into another Hawaii. Puerto Rico already makes them $576 billion a year. $576 billion a year made all from the Jones Act, where everything is increased 30% every time something comes onto the island, including when people want
to
live on the island.
They just increase all the materials for construction.
98% of the food that is produced in the island is not from the island. 98% of the food that people have to buy in the stores comes from other places like Mexico and the Dominican Republic and anywhere else in the United States or anywhere else
that
the United States has contracts with. Right.
Basically,
and,
what
and
you're
it's,
saying is
it's
another land grab. They're trying to
It's all about this season grab because you know what it is? I bet you that was the same thing that happened with Hawaii. That's how come they immediately put their hands on Hawaii and it became a state.
Mm-hmm.
And with Puerto Rico,
there was a real long struggle the way it is here. There was a revolution in Hawaii. People have to look back all the way back to the 1400s. These colonizers don't have this kind of beauty. These colonizers don't understand what it's like to live in this kind of beauty. And colonizers don't appreciate the fact that people of color can enjoy such beauty. They become
They come in and divide
and conquer. They want to take
Absolutely.
Over whatever it is. They
That's right,
a place
they do, because
they
were never
take over.
Well, they don't have that. They were never raised like that. They don't have that kind of beauty, and it's embedded now into their DNA to the point that it's so unconscious that they cannot stand to see people of color born and raised or bred in beautiful places like this, where they must come, just like you said, divide, succeed, and conquer.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
and this is exactly what is happening all the way to the top of the government. This is it's a marriage between the government of Puerto Rico and the government of the United States. Simple as that.
Now I have to ask this question: what is there any? How is the crime like? Have there been any issues in terms of crime?
I was
gonna
ask.
Going
yes.
on out there.
Yes. George, you an answer?
What happened?
I think.
Oh, were you gonna say something?
I'm
sorry. Oh, okay.
No,
because I was
going
to say, I just heard something as far as crime. I think it's about 2 weeks ago that they had said we had, about 2 weeks ago, I believe it was, on the news, they said that there was, up to date, 360 homicides, between homicides and homicides or homicide-suicide.
Wow.
So 360, and I remember saying to myself when they announced it wasn't even 200 days into the year, so it wasn't that long ago. Because, 360, whatever, I can do the math right now. But anyway, it was like, it was in the month of July. So it's like, or August, I'm losing count of where we are right now. But it was, it's more than one death per day. So crime has gone up a lot. And the last number I heard on suicide was like it went up 57% since Hurricane Maria.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
those suicides go from cancer patients not having chemo medication
wow.
and committing suicide.
That's
it happened in the
thing.
Island here.
That's a
it happened in Vieques. Yeah, and I heard this from nurses. So this is from, frontline people there that are dealing with these
mm-hmm.
patients that, it goes from just the father that provided that's no longer able to provide, all types of suicide, old people,
right.
elderly people that are neglecting themselves because the working kids, middle age, went to work to the States, to be able to survive. So here are the elderly in this situation. So they went through a trauma. Now the kids and the grandkids are gone.
Mm-hmm.
They're by themselves. And a lot of them just let themselves die. I believe it's called self. Yeah, it's like a slow,
Puerto Rico is in an economic downward spiral. Puerto Rico is in an economic downward spiral, and crime can always be connected to levels of poverty. So that we have to look at that. I don't think that Puerto Rico has any more crime than any other major city. That it's not so disproportionate.
Uh-huh.
But you have to look at what's happening economically. People are desperate. And the situation isn't getting better. It's only getting worse. It's getting worse. And, in fact, I think it's important to know that one of the things that the electric company, they're trying to privatize everything, trying to privatize the island, trying to privatize the land, privatize the schools, privatize the utilities. And the electric company is being sold without the debt. All of these companies, they come with debt. They're all in debt. But the private company that's buying it doesn't have to pay the debt. The debt is being passed on to the people. So we have to pay the debt. So, so our costs are going to go up. So the cost of living just keeps going up while services are being closed, schools are being closed, all of the, anything that is to serve the people, the different organizations.
Right,
because
we can't work.
So that, so, yeah.
To work anything.
So to talk about crime, you have
to keep
consideration. What is there for
the reason why I asked
the other thing.
This is sad, man.
I'm sorry, hold on.
Really,
the reason why I asked about the crime is because, of course, in America, there's this love, about the criminal activity or just crime in general. So that's the reason why I asked, because I wanted to see if it was – because it's like America is not concerned with making anything in Puerto Rico front page. And my thing is, unless it was like some serious crime going on, that's why I asked, because then they would probably take that and like spin it.
There's more crime in Chicago right now than there is in Puerto Rico.
That's
cool.
So
that's
true.
That's all I wanted to know. Because once again, I just find it interesting how, there's a Puerto Rican Day parade here once a year, but yet, how do you forget about the island? How do you forget about
that's
the island
yeah.
where people came
from? Because a lot of Puerto Ricans and a lot of people, when they live on this mainland, when they live here, they disconnect from this island. This island, a lot of us parents came from. They disconnect. They feel they have it good. But this disconnection that people have had to the island of Puerto Rico has started back in the 20s. They have started this plan since day one, since they start when we fought in the First World War. The government had a sick plan in their mind to disconnect people from this island because that's what they wanted. They wanted it. It's so beautiful. They want the people of the island of Puerto Rico to be able to suffer so bad that they have to come to the mainland because that's the only way they're going to get more subsidies, you know, from the government, being able to get money or food stamps or welfare or Medicare or Medicaid or even a better job.
This is a plan
that has been set up from the beginning.
Wow.
Okay, people in the island of Puerto Rico, this minimum wage is $5.25 an hour. And they don't raise the, and let's make it clear, people cannot make any more than that from the age of 25 or less. If you're 25 and older, then you can make more money. But this has been a conspiracy on purpose. And the island of Puerto Rico actually makes the most bilingual speaking doctors in the whole wide world. And this is a fact. When I went to a foundation party in St. Louis, Missouri, for a client of mine who finally, who is a baseball player from Puerto Rico, he had a foundation party, and I happened to actually meet this rich Anglo-Saxon man who came to the party who bought Ponce College. He bought the whole college of Ponce, Puerto Rico. And on the middle of the street in St. Louis, I had my shoes up. I was like, please tell me I don't have to fight a rich white man in the street. And he said, no, you don't understand. We're trying to help Puerto Rico, and this is just him, trying to help Puerto Rico by building colleges in the name of Ponce Puerto Rico in St. Louis. They just built one, and they're about to build two more in the United States under the name of Ponce College Puerto Rico, the University of Ponce. My point is that this has been a conspiracy.
How that helps Puerto Rico?
Did
you help them?
It doesn't.
That's what I'm saying.
But what I'm saying to you is there's highly educated people on this island that we want to keep on this island. But we're in the midst of the struggle between the governments who want to break the people who live on this island. So they say, enough is enough. I'm going to go to the mainland. So they can start buying up the land. So they can start doing more than they're doing now by building huge condominiums and hotels and taking up the shoreline. This is a conspiracy.
Sound familiar, Brother B?
I would like to add something to what Camencita is saying. There's a group here that they've been around at least probably a little over a year before Maria. The cryptocurrency people, okay? There's more of them moving here every time. They're just basically taking over the island. There was a meeting where the governor met in New York with one group, because there's different groups. And I think it was like the following week is when he made the big announcement about wanting to privatize the schools, all the public schools, make them charters or magnets, which most people are against. And I heard through the grapevine, somebody who attended this meeting, that one of the reasons he wanted to do that was because some of the crypto people were saying, we're not sending our kids to public schools. So basically what I think it was Camencita that was stating, how they want to make this, you know, a place like Hawaii. I have a friend that lives in Vieques who lived in San Francisco. She said when cryptocurrency was there and they first brought it, she said you can drive now in any direction 3 hours to San Francisco and you cannot afford to live there if you're a middle-class person because the cost of living went up so much. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, what worries me is, I don't know.
Privatize the whole island.
Yeah. And the other thing I don't understand is
privatize everything and then marginalize the Puerto Ricans who live here.
The other thing that worries me is cryptocurrency, from what I understand, uses a lot of electricity. So I wonder, I ask myself sometimes, all these continuous blackouts that we're getting on a daily basis on, in different parts of the island. Does it? Is there a link? Is there a correlation? I'm sorry, but I can't help but wonder. You know what I'm saying? Because why is it? It's almost a year later, and it's happening every single day. Every single day, I'll hear somebody, like the lady who just spoke from Vega Baja, who's in the group right now. She said yesterday she lost power, and I said we lost power yesterday and today. So, you know, how much is it from the grid? How much is it from the infrastructure? How much is it related to other things that have nothing to do with the infrastructure or the grid, but because whatever plan it is that they have for the island, whoever it is.
Well, my thing is, why can't they get it stable? Like, how could you have electricity one day and then not the next? Like, what's the problem?
Exactly.
Well, to begin with, the island of Puerto Rico, the infrastructure, the cabling, the cables, the poles, everything was neglected. This is from what I heard when I first got here, but then I heard more about it because I moved here 3 years ago. But people told me that for three to four decades, the grid and the poles, the infrastructure was not being maintained. People are just slacking on their jobs, collecting a paycheck, but cables that were supposed to be replaced, they didn't get replaced. Poles that were supposed to be getting repaired, they didn't. Just like I told people right after it happened, you go down a street where you have a whole bunch of wooden poles, and to me they look like broken toothpicks. That was the image that came to my mind. It was,
that's,
oh my God, they look like broken toothpicks. A whole
that's
row.
True. It was already weak
broken
before
toothpicks.
The hurricane, and then
and
Category
you look at
5
the,
hurricane
you,
comes
you look
through.
At the, yeah.
And then
right.
Now
and
after
tornadoes.
The hurricane, they didn't rebuild. They didn't rebuild. They just fixed it to try to get it back to what it was. So it was already, it was already decrepit. I mean, we had there's huge fires at the plants. There's always problems because it was already old and they had not put any money into it. It had not been maintained
right.
Well. And then you get slammed with a hurricane like that, and then they just, kind of put a Band-Aid on it. So it's always going to be like this. Mm-hmm. And now that it's privatized, there's no interest. And and putting money into it, there's just interest in taking money out, as is with every other organization is interested in taking money out, and there's no money coming in, and that's
so what about the tourist
infrastructure.
Areas? So what about the tourist
the,
area?
That is actually the exception with the San Juan area. The San Juan area was up and running in a couple of weeks. It was
I just find that interesting. That's why I find that interesting that the tourist areas, were up and running with just boom, just like that. But everybody else,
yeah. But
we're,
that,
like
7 months
out.
Later, we were still yeah.
And those
there's
and
no,
those are the things
no
that make us wonder, why were they able to do that and why did they do that? But they didn't take care of the rest. Why do we still have so many families living on the blue tarp?
Because it's simple.
Sure.
We're not stupid here. We know why they picked San Juan first. We know. We all know why. Come on, let's keep it 100 here.
It's a cash cow.
We know why because it's where money's at. That's where the money. That's where the tourists come in. That's where all the businesses over there. You can buy Gucci. You can buy Fendi. You can spend some money over there.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy a $20
so
burger that you can get in the mountain for five.
Every single we all know that there's a port in Puerto Rico, and every single ship that comes on has potential up to 4,000 guests. If 4,000 guests spend $100 a piece, that's $400,000. And there's usually four cruise ships at a time. In San Juan, you know how much money that revenues? That's $2 million a day. San Juan is a cash cow. When people always ask in the United States, "Oh, how's Puerto Rico?" "Oh, well, Puerto Rico is not good." "Oh, I've been to San Juan. I love San Juan." There is more to Puerto Rico than San Juan.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
A whole lot
right.
more.
I've always said
You're
that.
Right about that.
If you don't, I always tell people, and for many years, not since Maria, if you want to know what Puerto Rico's like, you need to leave the metro area. You need to leave the touristic area.
My opinion,
the real Puerto Rico.
What Maria did, mm-hmm. what Maria did was expose how fucked up Puerto Rico has been for many years.
Yes.
Let's keep it real.
I'm glad you pointed
people
out.
That have been born here, people that's been born here knows how messed up and how crazy has been here. And Maria exposed them, how messed up
yes.
all the corruption, all the government corruption there is. It's just more and more things. And don't be surprised, more things come out. More and more things.
Well,
you know
well
what,
we haven't
you know
touched.
What, man,
we haven't
saying?
Even touched. We haven't even touched on the subject of the death. The death toll.
I'm glad
count.
You brought it up. I'm glad you brought up the
because
yeah, what
the
is, what is that? What's up with that?
Hold up.
What's up with the death toll?
Let me just say this.
Never know.
I feel you where you're coming from because you know what? My family, they're from Haiti, and you can't get any more corrupted than that.
Oh, that's
it's all
true.
All screwed up.
Yeah, that I've is heard.
You know what? Here's a sad story about Haiti. When Haiti fell in the earthquake, okay, the government of the United States promised to help them, but they really didn't. Now, Haiti was one of the number one places in the world to make rice. They were making rice.
Yeah.
So when they fell, the United States decided
to pay
farmers in the United States to attempt to grow rice. They gave them thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars of free loan money, which technically
mm-hmm.
is not. It's my money and everybody else's money who pays taxes. They gave them thousands of dollars to attempt to make rice so they can put the rice growers in Haiti out of business, and that's exactly what they did.
Mm.
So this is a worldwide conspiracy to make sure that people of color do not rise.
Stay down.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And you
well,
know
it's interesting
right
that
you
say that because I was thinking about that the other day, how we're an island and, you know, we're in proximity. Haiti's like right there, right, from Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
And just the other day
uh-huh.
I was thinking how it's unbelievable that people are suffering so much in Haiti when it's not because of lack of money. And then I'm thinking, is that what's happening here? We're not in this condition because there's no money in Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
right.
Corrupt
so,
government.
It's scary.
It's
scary.
It's government corruption. And it's
mm-hmm.
hitting, and trust me, when I tell you this, it's hitting every island with this government corruption. Because you know what these corrupt governments are doing? Instead of helping the people, they're taking the money and stuffing it into their own pockets. They're taking that money and building themselves the most expensive houses and driving the biggest cars.
So, all right, but then that leads me or someone else to say, what's the purpose of donating money if somebody else is going to take it and put it in their pocket that doesn't deserve it? You see what
I'm
saying?
That's why it's so important is to know who you're going to donate money to.
Exactly.
And I've been saying that since the minute I got to the States.
Hey,
that was my second post.
Did you donate to the Red Cross? Who donated?
No,
to the Red
and
Cross?
I'm a volunteer.
No,
and I'm a volunteer with the Red Cross for many years. And I didn't.
Nope.
I did not.
No.
I did not donate.
Something. I was reading something about the Red Cross.
Yeah, the Red Cross screwed everybody over because the Red Cross claimed all that.
Hold on.
You're not the only place that needs help.
Exactly.
They get the same thing
of your money.
And Lynn,
they get 60% of your money goes to payroll. So when you donate a dollar, already 60 cents goes to their payroll. 40 cents go to the actual help.
That's why I can't help
the
Red Cross.
That's
how I refuse to donate to the Red Cross.
Those $35 million that were donated. $35 million that were donated to Beatriz through the governor's wife's organization, Unidos por Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
She gave millions of dollars to the Red Cross, you know, out of that money. And Red Cross, for me, where I live in Vega Baja, in a small community in the countryside.
Mm-hmm.
The Red Cross came here in December. The hurricane was in September. They came here in December trying to offer us some military meals. You know, by that point, nobody wanted that. That stuff that was sitting in the warehouses for months and months and months. And
I'm telling you, I got
never
FEMA meals
here.
60
never
days after. I lived it 60 days after. I can vouch for that. from FEMA.
December they came in first.
Man,
but FEMA never came here. FEMA never came. The government never came. The local or federal government never came. Nobody ever came here to get the dead bodies. You know, people were burying bodies in their own backyards because they wouldn't even pick up the bodies. Nobody ever came here to clean up water. People
Lord,
were
in
getting
the
water
thousands.
From the rivers.
In the thousands.
From the rivers, getting contaminated water. People were dying.
Yeah.
People were dying of thirst, dying of hunger, and nobody ever came here. Red Cross came in December one time after Christmas. It was the week of Christmas, I remember. And they came, and they didn't go house to house. They made an announcement that they were going to be at the park, and they were giving out military meals. And that's the only help that we've seen out of all those donations and all those millions and millions of dollars that were donated. That's the only time that we ever saw anybody, federal or local, in this community.
I don't know
nobody
if you guys heard. I don't know if you guys heard about the 3 days that Vieques was without electricity because they ran out of the ferries, broke down, all of them, and there was no electricity in the island for 3 days. So no 911, no doctors, no nothing. Okay, and a friend of mine from the New York State Chaplains Task Force asked me to come try to find out with I forgot what it's called that big ship with the Red Cross has, and it was here. So I call and I spoke to this gentleman, and I'm talking about like early January. So I'm like, I'm so-and-so, you know, I identify myself, and I'm just calling because I need to find out where the ship is. The ship is in Virginia. It left about 2 months ago because it wasn't being used by the people in Puerto Rico. So here's early January, and I'm calling about a ship that still should have been here, that could have easily been sent to Vieques so they could have used as a hospital or a clinic or whatever. And if they weren't, if it wasn't being used here, and there it was in the state of Virginia. And that I know of, there was no catastrophe that happened in the state of Virginia at that time that it needed to be there. So, you know, all these things going in the opposite direction.
What I find interesting, but even like more disheartening, is that if Puerto Rico had some, besides just the tourism, if they had something more to offer, like some type of natural resource or produce some, you know, goods that the America could use, like oil
used
or
to
something
be that
like
way.
That, they
it
would,
used
they,
to
you,
be that
you
way.
Guys, they would have had everything. You guys would have every
had
bit
all
of assistance.
Kinds of resources.
You would have
they
had,
still,
you would
they
have
still
had
wouldn't
toys.
They still wouldn't have done anything. They still wouldn't have done anything because the United States is not interested
rich,
in the people.
Rich land,
the United
man,
States is interested
country.
In the land, not
well,
the people.
Well, but yeah,
you know,
that's
like,
right.
Exactly,
rich
but,
land.
Rich land. But the land, but
that's
see,
like
the whole thing is
a rich land.
But the whole thing
they're
is,
not,
is
yeah,
still,
not,
they still need somebody
listen,
to maintain
just,
the land.
You know what it is when it comes
what
to that?
What it is.
They just want to get their hands whatever. They just want to get their hands on whatever they can get from the place. And, you know,
exactly.
They're interested
the
in, the cage, not
yeah.
the birds.
We used to, thrive.
Because poor people can do nothing for them. You know, there's no incentive in helping poor people. And that's
exactly.
just the way it is.
And I want to say, I want to answer his question. Agriculture, we used to thrive off of that. Sugar cane, coffee, plantains.
Right.
I mean, we had so
that?
Much. And you know what happened?
Who?
H.R. 936 law killed that. The United States of America, they gave this tax a break.
That's what,
they
wait,
came
wait,
here.
Wait, wait,
they
wait,
got
wait,
rid
wait,
of
wait, what is that law? Wait, say it again.
H.R. 936. Yes.
And that
they
is.
They brought it
wow.
in, I believe, I don't know if it was the 80s or whenever they brought it, but they brought it in. So anyone who wasn't from Puerto Rico were getting these tax breaks, which is what's happening now with the cryptocurrency people. So they came in here. They got this huge, you know, it was a huge incentive. So they came here. People won't, from Puerto Rico won't get this tax break. But if you're not from Puerto Rico, you can come here, start a business. And there was this incentive, but they came here and they got rid of it little by little. It got rid of agriculture. It went,
right.
you
it
know,
went,
all of a sudden you got McDonald's, you got Popeyes, you see Walmart. Puerto Rico got Americanized. And then a few years ago, they took it away. Then they took it away. So when they took it away,
there's a Starbucks out
there.
Yeah.
No. Basically. Listen,
oh,
listen
so,
to her.
Now,
listen,
now,
listen
now
to
what they
says.
Took.
Let me hear this.
Now
yeah,
they,
let me.
A few years back, I don't know exactly what year, they took it away. The minute they took that law away, that started to help the declining of the economy in Puerto Rico. If you go back to 2015, there was a mass exodus happening of Puerto Ricans leaving to the mainland. So between 2015 and up to now, since Maria happened, you could say easily 2 million Puerto Ricans have left to the States. So what the message I'm trying to get to people out in the States is, make sure those people register, the ones that are not living in temporary housing, because if they're in temporary housing, they cannot register. They need to have a valid, if I'm correct, and I believe I'm correct, I looked into it, but you guys can look into it as well. They have to have a permanent address.
Residence.
Permanent, residency. So I try to encourage people, please get those people in the state to go out and vote. This year's elections are, like, crucial, and a lot of people are not realizing. We need to vote, and we need to vote Democratic, whoever is Democratic. We need to go and vote blue, you know, just like the blue tarps that are here in, 400,000 families.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because you know what? As many a time that I've said this, you know what's going on here in the United States is because, like I've told Brother B this, and I've said this to Big Red, I've said this many times on this show. You know, we're still suffering from the neglect of the election of 2016, because during the election of 2016, 46% of Americans decided to lay back in the cut, to sit there with their arms crossed, and not vote. Mm-hmm. And then this is the result of them not voting. And they would, and mind you, the same people who are not even registered voters are the same people who are out there demonstrating. I'm like, what the hell are you demonstrating for? What the hell are you marching
and
for? When it's
not just that.
Yeah.
Not just that. They're usually the ones that complain the most.
Mm-hmm.
They won't move a finger to do anything
Can I ask what bearing does that have on Puerto Rico, how the elections go in the United States? How does that affect us in any way?
That's what I want to know.
Look at Congress.
Congress is mainly Republicans. So we need to get Democrats in there.
It was a Democratic Congress that imposed the financial fiscal board on Puerto Rico that finished us off. It was Barack Obama who put that unelected board who has full control of Puerto Rico and how we spend our money, and who Jurescu, the director of this board, her salary is $625,000 a year, and her job is to decide how much money they're going to get from us to pay the vultures, to pay the, you know. So this was a Democratic. We had no voice. We didn't vote it.
Right.
We didn't
vote
them in, and we can't vote them out. So voting has no bearing on our reality. Because Republican and Democratic, everything is going to be.
And I'm glad that we're having this conversation because it puts things more into perspective for me. Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
Whatever. Democratic, Republican, they'll always vote in what is in the best interest of the United States, not of Puerto Rico, not of its colony.
Right.
So
you
guys
that
live over
the
there.
It should be
All right. All right. Well, we got like 3 minutes left. Maddie, take us out. I mean, of course.
Come on now.
Before you do it, I just got to say thank you, everyone, for calling in.
You're welcome.
For having us.
Anytime.
Thank you.
You're
welcome.
Call
back.
The menu will always be a platform. If you ever want to call, if you ever want to set up a topic, whatever. I'm always here. Me and Big Red always around.
We appreciate that.
Oh, anytime.
We really appreciate that.
I just want to say real quick that politics aside, because I really don't subscribe to Democrat, Republican, liberal, whatever, I'm all about humanity, and this is the suffering.
Right.
And I don't know how some people call themselves humans and can actually see someone else suffering like that and not do anything about it, because I don't think this is what God intended. But go ahead, Maddie.
Exactly.
Clear this out.
Exactly. Well, you know, for those in the States or whatever, if you are going to donate and to Puerto Rico, make sure you find an organization that is actually doing something. Make sure that don't donate to the Red Cross,
They've been around for years, but they take a big salary. I don't. Every 100% of everything that is donated to my organization goes to Puerto Rico. So if you guys want to donate, you guys find that I'm doing great work in Puerto Rico along with George and Lynn and so and my sister and, you know, so on, donate to A Light in the Dark. Secondly, is if you go to Puerto Rico and if you're only going to stay in San Juan, please don't talk about that Puerto Rico's up and running, because they're not. You know, there's still a lot of devastation on the island, and we are very prideful people. We are very hardworking people. So on the contrary, what you might hear out in the streets, that Puerto Ricans are lazy and so on, that is not the truth. Because let me tell you something, this one house we did with Project Flaco, we call him Project Flaco, this man works on the farm every single day, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. He would get up and still help us on his property. He helped us with, you know, tired and all, he was there with us. You know, they even cook for us every single day just to say thank you, because they don't want a handout. They need help, and that's all they need. You know, there are still so many stories that have not been put out there as of yet. There are still people reaching out to us, asking us to help, you know, with certain homes. And unfortunately, we're only helping homes that, you know, that are not getting any FEMA money, because they're the ones who need it the most and so on. But we're out there on the ground. I'm back in Colorado. George is still there. Lynn is still there. Sensi's still there. Gamesita is back in Arizona. My sister's back home in Long Island and stuff. But even though we are not physically there, Puerto Rico's still in our heart. I think about them every single day. I'm not going to forget about them, and I will not stop until every blue tarp is off of every single home in Puerto Rico. And that is
I have a big Puerto Rico. I have important information for you guys.
Oh, wait a minute. The podcast actually ended.
Okay.
So if what you can do is you can go to Facebook. If you got Facebook, go to the menu page, and you can leave whatever information you can.
Okay.
Please. And we'll circulate
it,
you know, every week on the show. Leave whatever information you can, and I'll definitely make sure you circulate it.
Okay, that'll be great. Yeah, because they just approved. They just approved where people that one of the problems that with helping people with their house and the structure and the roof was a lot of people didn't have the deeds to the house. But now FEMA has a program where if you do an affidavit, you know, notarized letter, they'll help those families out. Put it on Facebook. The interview with
it's
David Bernal with Rosselló. And with the governor, where he says that, yes, there's a program. He actually confirms it. So I want to put
information
out there.
Yeah, definitely go to the menu page definitely go to the menu page and check it out. Is, you know, is the menu, Mind Your Mental, MindYourMental. And we'll definitely get it rocking. Well, thank you, everyone.
Okay.
Thank you
for having us.
Bye.
We got to do this again. Everyone,
bye,
have a good night.
Bye, George. Bye, Sensi.
Bye, George. Bye, Mommy. Bye, Camisita.
Bye, Mommy. Bye, Love. Bye.
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 Everyone, good night.
Bye, y'all.
Good night, guys.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.